Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I have a question about lesbians. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I have a question about lesbians. So we're going to get to that question in just a moment. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. And also this hour, we're going to get back into the voter fraud allegations and the criminal allegations that have been made. Some amazing stuff coming out of yesterday's press conferences. Just unbelievable allegations. And we're going to get to those in just a minute. Last night, I had a few minutes, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit down, and one of my other favorite TV shows, it's the FBI show. I forget what it is. It's put together by the Law and Order, the old Dick Wolf from Law and Order days. I love the crime procedural TV shows. Love those. So I turn it on, and it's the brand new season, and what do I see? Everybody wearing a face mask, and everybody, the entire cast wearing face masks on the TV, and this whole storyline is about the China virus. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on in Hollywood right now? I mean, it's bad enough that we have to go through this stuff in real life. I do not want to see it in prime time on my TV. Period. I just don't. So I turned it off. It's like every single show that is coming out is all about the China virus. Never. It's just unbelievable. So I don't know if that aggravates you, but I was fairly aggravated last night because you just want to sit down. You want to decompress. You want to have a good time. You turn on the TV and everybody's wearing a face burqa.
You know what's weird, Todd? I actually turn on the TV now and I see shows and movies where they're not wearing face masks. And I have this moment. My brain goes, why aren't they wearing face masks? And that's really sad. Like, I wish that wasn't the case, but it's like programmed in my brain now that that's normal.
It used to. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But and they want that to be the new normal. Everybody's going around wearing the face burqa and they get these little lectures and these lessons. Sally, where's your face mask?
Up yours, Daddy. I'm an American patriot.
No, that's not what happened, but that's what should have happened.
Sally.
So anyway, there's this other story going on out there, this big culture war story. And this is where the lesbian question comes in. So, and Avery, I know you're like our resident movie guru, and Grace, you're all about culture and all that kind of whatnot. So I'm confused about this story. So Ellen Page, she's like a famous movie actress. Is that right?
Yes. For the most part.
Okay. What was she in that I might know? Was she in the Andy Griffith show?
She was in a few X-Men movies. She was in a bunch of kind of more indie stuff. She was in Inception.
Okay. Wasn't she in Umbrella Academy on Netflix?
Yes, she is.
I haven't seen it, but a lot of it's popular.
So she's 33 years old, and she's a lesbian, right?
Yes.
Okay. And we know that because she's married to a chick, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that would make one a lesbian. I just want to make sure I'm getting all this correct here. So then yesterday day before yesterday, she comes out. Well, first of all, she came out as gay in 2014. Then she got married to the chick in 2018. And then yesterday she announces on social media. I want to read this. I guess now she's coming out as a dude. So now,
wait a minute.
Is that right? So she thinks she's a dude. She's coming out as transgender. And she's changing her name.
That was the report.
All right. I think we get to know. She tells us her preferred pronouns, too. I'll get to that in a moment. So anyway, this is what Ellen Page wrote. Hi, friends. I want to share with you that I am trans. My pronouns are he/they, and my name is Elliot.
Wait a minute.
Sounds like a midlife crisis.
I understand the he. But why do you choose they?
Is that like multiple personalities? I don't know.
That really sounds like a midlife crisis.
They implies multiple personalities.
Yeah, something.
More than one. They.
Also, I do want to point out that what a great way to start off this hour where you just open up, like, this is the hour that WDUN, my good buddies here at WDUN are starting to listen to the show, and you just open up the show with, I have a question about lesbians. Can we talk about that for a second?
Look, you know, but Avery, I'm just telling you, I mean, you know, we talk about everything here. We're an open book on this radio program.
That's why I love working. And,
yeah, I mean, so you never know. By the way, this is a little humor, if you will. What do you call a transgender in America? A trans am. I'm just kidding. That's terrible. No, I seriously, though, I do have a question, though. I mean, so she goes from being a lesbian to being a dude. So if you're a dude, you can't be a lesbian because that's for the ladies, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Does she technically now identify as
straight?
Yeah.
Is she straight?
She's
yeah.
now a he who's married to a she.
That's my question. I mean, I don't understand.
Quite the conundrum.
It is quite the conundrum. It is a cultural conundrum that we have to. This is like one of those very difficult word problems that we used to have in math class.
Yeah,
oh,
I've been seeing.
I hated math class.
I saw on Twitter, I think it was either yesterday or sometime today. I think it was yesterday, where I saw like a word list of updated pronouns or terms for the transgender community or LGBTQ plus community and things like that. And it was just a whole bunch of lists.
How many
of just,
are there?
Don't even ask me that, Grace. I don't know
and
that.
She.
No, there are, I think, 70 or 80, according to Facebook. But yeah. My question is this grounds for divorce? Because clearly the lone lesbian in the relationship, I mean, she went into this thinking she was marrying a gal and not a guy. So is this like grounds for like divorce?
Unless they're bisexual.
Yeah. This is all very confusing.
It is very confusing.
Yeah,
all
and
very
what confusing. I was and what I was trying to finish up with what I was saying just a second ago, like someone had commented on it and said it's not that hard to be inclusive. But now with this situation that we've been talking about just now, it clearly is very difficult when there are all these different little factors
Can
that
I
are
just,
going into this.
It is a fair thing, and I just want to say this. The Lord made it very simple for us, guys and gals. You know, that was pretty simple. Everybody kind of knew which direction we were going, and now who knows what's going on in America? It's anything goes. Anything goes in the culture right now. That's the problem. Anything goes. And by the way, here's what gets me: all of these folks out there who want to just break away all the cultural norms. All of society's norms, all of a sudden now they're setting boundaries. So what gives them the right? You know, if nobody's allowed to set boundaries, what gives them the right to set boundaries? This is what happens when you do not have you do not have absolute truth in the culture. You have chaos. And that's what's happening right now before our very eyes. So the only reason we're talking about this story is Mr. or Miss or Mrs. Page brought it to our attention. She wants he, she, they. I
feel like
I'm
they
just
is
confused.
The best term to use.
They.
Just go with they.
No, I'm
just
not using they. She's a she.
Okay, fair enough. Also, that's a good
yeah,
way to use.
That's fair.
It's and you know what? The very fact now that you call someone a she who is actually a she is considered a hate crime by some. I'm not kidding you guys.
Yeah, again, like this is the party of science, and they're just like, nope, that's not my pronoun. I'm sorry, I thought your pronoun was determined by your gender, which is based on science, so therefore you have to abide by science or not. It just depends on how you feel on the day. I feel like that's what I've been seeing a whole lot in like sort of the leftist community. They're like their whole ideals kind of depend on the day, you know, however they wake up. You know, if they don't wake up with their MyPillow in the bed after, you know, after a long night's sleep, it just depends on how their day is going to be, you know, however their mood is feeling like that day.
However the wind blows, that's the way their beliefs go.
So let me say this, and the reason that I brought this up, the Joe Biden is coming out and saying that one of the first things he's going to do, day one in the White House, he's going to become the champion of transgender rights. And he's going to declare that if you're a boy and you think you're a girl, you're going to be able to use the ladies' room at your school. You're going to be able to use the locker room. So you're going to be able to disrobe in front of all the girls, the biological girls, in the locker room. Because that guy, and if the biological girls have a problem with it, that means that they're bad, there's something wrong with them, they're homophobic or transphobic or whatever the heck the word they want to use. But it goes beyond that, because now, Avery, they want to turn around And they want to say, and Joe Biden says, that they're also going to be able to play on the sports teams of their choosing. Now, I just want folks to think about this. Think about the ramifications of this. It's very possible that you could have a biological girl denied a spot on the girls' basketball team because a boy who identifies as a girl wants to play on that basketball team and might be the superior athlete.
See, that's insulting to me.
Yeah, that's not real feminism. That's just, you're becoming a woman just because you're becoming, some of these people are becoming, being transgender and becoming women just so that they can get a spot on the girls' varsity team, whereas they wouldn't even make it in the JV's boy team. That's what's happening.
Transgenderism truly is, and a lot of the feminists are out there saying this, that it truly is a war on women.
Well, going back to what we were talking about the other day about the girl kicker on the, the college football team on the men's team, that it can open up a can of worms. And the thing is, I said, shame on Vanderbilt if they, put her on the team just because she's a girl and not because of her talents. I've said that multiple times. But
that's patronizing. That's not feminism, right?
Yeah, it's not. It's not feminism. If she's as good, then great. She can be on the team. But yes, men are superior athletes. And then if men just invade women's sports, gosh, that's terrible.
So get this. By the way, speaking of Sarah Fuller, made history, college football kicker, first female player to play in an SEC Division I game. And I got to tell you, you guys saw the kick.
It wasn't very good.
It was pretty horrible.
It was pretty bad.
It was bad. It was
I was
bad.
Saying if she was trying to do an onside kick, she did a great job. But
yeah, that's
not,
that's what it looked like.
Well, guess what, guys? Sarah Fuller is the SEC Special Teams Player of the Week.
See, that just makes me mad at the SEC. That doesn't make me mad at the girl. It just makes me mad at the SEC.
Out of all of the special teams in the Southeastern Conference, they're telling us that the best player on Saturday was Sarah Fuller.
I find that insulting, again, because they're just doing it because she's a girl, not because she did a good job.
So you think it's because she's female? That's
oh, duh. Come on, guys.
You're the resident woman on the show.
That's
here,
what
Grace
it
Baker.
Insults me when they put women on teams and they put women in high positions only because they're a girl. So they can say, look at us. We're inclusive. We equality. Woo.
Well, there you go. It doesn't say a lot about the Southeastern Conference, sadly, if that's the best player they've got this week.
Yeesh.
All right. Look, we're going to take a break here. There you go, folks. You can expect more of this cultural chaos and confusion if Joe Biden wins the White House, because that's their mission. And they want to literally destroy gender. It's going to be an anything-goes society. And this is going to impact you in your small town. Many of you say, well, I live in a country town. I don't live in the big cities. I don't live in Berkeley. Doesn't matter. It's going to impact you in your small towns. They're going to shove it down your throats, ladies and gentlemen, and there's really not much you're going to be able to do about it unless we can get this election sorted out. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Go into the phones coming up. ToddStarnes.com, the website. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
So it turns out General Michael Flynn getting a little blowback. General Flynn, just a little while ago, shared a tweet. He did not write this, but he did share it and said, and the tweet basically called on President Trump to invoke limited martial law to hold a new election. And now General Flynn is being called an enemy of democracy. The tweet from a group called WeThePeopleConvention.org, they're calling for the president to invoke limited martial law, hold a new election, protect our vote. They're taking out full-page ads in the Washington Times, and they are calling on legislators, courts, and Congress to do their job. And if they do not follow the Constitution, the president should take action. What say you? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Vermont. Dino on the line. Hi, Dino. What's going on?
Hey, like I keep telling them, it's Mom and Dad, not Tom and Brad.
Oh, you know? Yes. Well, I see what you said there. Yes.
Tell Ronnie, Shifty Ronnie there, I couldn't stop the Black Friday. I tried my best. Maybe next year. I think we're ahead. The biggest fight we've ever been in as Americans. These people are just out of their tree. And I want to compliment you and your staff, especially Gracie. Just fantastic to deal with. Very professional. And you're very blessed to have people surrounding you, which, of course, we know you would. But the thing that bothers me is, you know, where are we going to go with this? If we don't, as Americans, whether you're Republican or Democrat, if we don't fight these people, we're going to lose. And as you've said before, I think we're in for the biggest fight. You know, I was in the union, plumber pipe fitters, for like 25, 30 years. And I struck, a few times, but my health is bad. I'm 67, but I'm ready to go out there and fight these people, legally and with honor. But this is a real mess.
Yeah, Dino, it is. I don't know. It is a real mess. And this is very disturbing what's happening. And a lot of people are having to sit back. And again, this is something that I know our family has done, is to sit back and say, okay, well, where does this go? You know, what happens if X, Y, or Z takes place? And I think we need to be prepared. Look, we're not about hyperbole here. We're not about hyperbole here. But we are about being prudent and being prepared. And Dino, that's what it's all about. Thank you for the call, sir, and we appreciate you listening to the program. All right, let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Jack hanging out with us on the awesome, almighty KARN. Hi, Jack, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. Well, yesterday morning on KARN with Kevin Miller, it pretty much sounded like Tom Cotton said Trump needs to throw in the towel.
Well,
that's what he said on Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I think there may be more to that story. I will say this, that President Trump about 2 hours ago, because I had seen some of those stories that Cotton was basically suggesting that, Jack, but the president put out about 2 hours ago, put out a little tweet thanking Senator Cotton for the really nice words on all that the administration is doing and has done.
Yeah, and I called you a couple of weeks ago about the taxation on weapons and magazines and stuff.
Yes, sir.
And you asked a question yesterday about that one about that lawyer who said something, about the Civil War, that we're headed towards the Civil War. My question is, if we were to do that, now in the 1700s we went with red and blue and the red law, even though we are Republican red. And then in the 1800s we did it, and it was blue and gray, and the Republicans won. So what color are we going to wear this time?
Well, let's hope we don't have to get to that point, Jack. Thank you for the call, and thank you for listening to us. I hate to do that, Jack, but we got to take a break here in just a second. We have to be realist, but we also have to be prepared, and that's what this is really all about, is being prepared. And the president is going to be making some very tough decisions very soon. He's going to have to. Do we stand and fight, or do you throw in the towel? Very simple question. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Dinesh D'Souza on the way. Mike Lindell from MyPillow. Our good friend Dr. Emer Kanner from Truett McConnell. Plus your calls. Shaping up to be a mighty nice afternoon here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just some updated info for you. We're getting word of a United States Postal Service driver who says a trailer with thousands of ballots just simply disappeared. Nobody knows where the trailer is. Another subcontractor with the U.S. Postal Service says that colleagues ordered him to backdate ballots. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to get to the bottom of all of this. We just have to. All right. Hang tight, folks. If you're on hold, want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, good friend of this program, Dinesh D'Souza, hanging out with us. And Dinesh, yesterday, every Tuesday, I go to the iTunes, look to see what new movies are coming out. And I was very surprised to see one of your great films pop up.
Absolutely. Well, my political documentary, Trump Card, has been on demand, available
got that one.
Through.
Yep.
But you're talking about Infidel, I believe, right?
Infidel. It's available for folks just in time for Christmas. It's a terrific movie. Just powerful, powerful. Great job on that one.
Well, thank you. It's actually, Debbie, and my first feature film. We're really excited about it. And it's perfect for Christmas because it's a movie about a guy who gets embroiled in the politics of radical Islam. He stands up for his Christian faith. So it's a very different movie than the kind of movie Hollywood would make. And it got terrific, not only audience reviews, but somewhat to my surprise, critical reviews. Because as you know, Todd, I mean, the critics are generally on the left. They are habituated to bashing me mercilessly. But I think in this particular case, they like the movie.
Well, it's a terrific film, and folks, we have a link to it in our live show blog. Go ahead and get yourself the film available on video on demand as of yesterday, starring Jim Caviezel. Dinesh, speaking of religious liberty, I guess that's a good place to start. I really do wonder if the average American understands the war that Joe Biden and his administration are going to wage on people of faith.
This is, I think, a real shift from the left, because in the past, the left was sort of the party that would champion the Bill of Rights. If you go back to a lot of the landmark cases, going back to the 60s and 70s involving free speech and even religious freedom, this was something that the left agreed with. But now there's a kind of deep vein of intolerance that has crept into the Democratic Party and into the left, in which they are actually willing to cancel out pretty much all the major provisions of the Bill of Rights. Religious freedom, of course, being at the top of the list, being right there in the First Amendment.
And we have seen this play out over the past couple of days with Chuck Schumer coming out and saying Biden, first day in the White House, is going to give transgender people the right to use bathrooms, locker rooms, sports teams of their choice, so on and so forth. So, again, this is why it's so important that we get to the bottom of what happened on Election Day so that we can stop Biden from taking residence at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
For a long time, right after the election, the media would say things like, where's the evidence of fraud? Show us the evidence. Bring out the evidence, guys. And now we're beginning to see, with hearings in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona, streams of evidence, one affidavit on top of another, one witness, one whistleblower after another, statistical data. And the other thing that's chilling about it is you see the same type of shenanigans going on in all these swing states, which by itself suggests the possibility or the probability that all of this is part of a coordinated effort. It's not just that the graves open up and dead people in Phoenix got out to vote. It's that you've got a systematic patterns that you see that appear to be the result of some kind of central planning. And so this could very well be a conspiracy that needs to be unraveled, but of course it needs to be unraveled in a very limited amount of time.
Yeah, and that's the problem here. The clock is ticking. You have Lynn Wood out there saying the president ought to declare martial law. General Flynn, just a little while ago, retweeted someone else who had said there needs to be limited martial law. And then you have retired General McInerney doing an interview that World Net Daily had, and he said that the president needs to take action declaring or using his emergency powers. Are we at that point, Dinesh, or will we ever be at that point?
Well, I don't think we are or should be for this reason, that number one, it looks to me like the Trump campaign, the Trump team, needs to spell out its strategy really clearly. And if it were me, it would be a two-part strategy. One, let's make sure we have cases in all these swing states, and no matter what the lower courts do with them, appeal them up to the Supreme Court. So that's the Supreme Court strategy. Let's leave it up to a conservative majority on the Supreme Court to decide how important it is to have a legal vote counted, and only a legal vote counted. And then strategy number two, appeal to the Republican state legislatures that dominate these swing states. I mean, is it not sort of providential that all these swing states have Republicans in charge? And so the fate of the election is actually in our hands. It doesn't depend on the New York Times. It doesn't depend on the left. It depends on Republican state legislatures to use power that is given to them in the Constitution.
And the question is, will the Republican legislatures do that? I have no doubt in my mind, Dinesh, if this had been a Democrat president in the same situation, Democrat state legislatures would do it. No doubt about it. Republicans, I don't know.
Well, let's think about why. There's only one reason that they wouldn't do it, in my opinion. It's not because they're not convinced of fraud. I believe they are. It's that they are scared of the left and of the media. They are scared of lawsuits. They are scared of reporters calling their homes at night. They're scared of Antifa, people showing up and screaming at them. We've just got to realize that, look, when the country hangs in the balance, these kinds of fears are meaningless. You should not really bother with this stuff. Who the heck cares if some loon at the New York Times is calling you at home? Don't answer the phone, or answer the phone and play music. In other words, realize that these people don't have this terrifying power over you. Ultimately, it's smoke and mirrors. They rely on the smoke and mirrors game to terrify us into submission and silence. The resources to fight that are within us if we will just call upon them.
You know, that is just so well said, Dinesh. And I think the president has demonstrated over the past 4 years what can happen if you do stand and fight. I mean, the accomplishments in his first term, some presidents can't even do that with 8 years. So let's just hope they have learned from the commander in chief how to fight. Where do you see this going, Dinesh? You know, a lot of people are getting anxious. A lot of Republicans are becoming nervous Nellies. What does this look like moving forward?
Well, I'm a little worried that the Trump team is not laying out its strategy and pursuing it in a sufficiently ruthless and clear-minded way. There seems to be a sort of a scattershot approach. Let's go to a hearing over here. Let's make an appeal over there. Let's do this. Let's do that. But this kind of manic response, I think, is not adequate to the situation. In fact, I remember back now to the Bush-Gore fight of 2000, and even though I always thought Bush was a little bit of a doofus, I was really impressed by the quality of the Republican lawyers that represented Bush in that fight. They were extremely tough. They gave no quarter. They had briefings every day. They were in command of the situation. They recognized the path that they needed to take to victory. So I just hope, I don't know, I just hope that there is a similarly clear-minded and tough-minded strategy on the Trump side this time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Dinesh. And, you know, it's really interesting because the campaign, you know, the administration, they're very sensitive to that issue, and they just do not like anything that might be considered criticism or constructive criticism. So I'm with you. I hope they've got a plan here.
Yeah, it's almost as if the Republicans spent a lot of time focusing on the campaign, whereas the Democrats spent their time on the election. You know, looking back, it was almost as if Biden didn't even care to campaign. He was sitting at home. He calls it quits at about, you know, 11 in the morning. But the Democrats, it doesn't mean that they weren't busy. They were busy, but busy doing what? Filing litigation to make sure that they got the mail-in ballots, organizing the counting of the ballots so that the observers would be kept far away. So while Republicans are focusing on getting the word out, let's have a rally, let's motivate the troops, and so on, the Democrats were focusing on how do you engineer this election and the ballot counting to make sure that the result comes out their way.
Well said. Dinesh, we're going to have to leave it there. Great stuff as always. And where do you want folks to go to get their copies of Trump Card and Infidel?
Well, you can go to my website, DineshDeSouza.com. The Infidel website is just Infidel911.com, Infidel911.com. The movie will be available for rent shortly, but now it's available for purchase, a physical DVD, or you can buy a download. And boy, it's perfect for Christmas. So yes, infidel911.com.
All right, good stuff. Tell Debbie we said hello. Merry Christmas.
I will do that. Thank you.
All right, Dinesh D'Souza, ladies and gentlemen. Great American patriot. And look, I think Dinesh was very diplomatic in saying what needed to be said about the Trump legal team. And we just have to hope they got their act together. I would definitely love to see all of these people making the compelling testimony and accusations in a courthouse under oath. That means it means a whole lot more when that happens as opposed to a hearing where there are no repercussions for maybe fudging the truth or whatnot. Hey, look, before we go to the break, I want to go to Bill in Arkansas. Now, before we go to Bill, we had a previous caller in the last, the last little while. And she was from Tennessee, and she said she received a text message asking her to cast her mail-in ballot to Georgia. She was not registered to vote in Georgia. She is not a Democrat in Georgia. She is a registered Republican. Very peculiar, and we're going to look into that. Now, let's go to the phones. Bill, listening to us in Arkansas, and I understand you got a recorded message yesterday. What's going on here?
Yes, sir, I did. The situation is it was a 501 call. I live in Cabot, Arkansas. I used to live in Roswell, Georgia, and left in 1993-94 time frame. And it was a recorded message just reminding me to vote. And usually when it's a 501 call, it's somebody else making a call. And the if you call back the number on the 501, it just says it's disconnected. But I did receive a voicemail phone call transcribed saying, reminding me to vote. And since I used to live in Georgia and I retired with the Georgia National Guard in 86 as a lieutenant colonel, I didn't think anything of the phone call until I heard the woman from the northeast section of Tennessee stating what happened to her.
Now, Bill, the call you received, that was from an Arkansas exchange, or was that from Georgia?
It was an Arkansas exchange, but when you call back the number, the number says the phone messages that is disconnected numbers, and usually it's coming from another state, and I didn't think anything of it until the woman talked to you a little while ago.
Now, that is very strange because Roswell, Georgia, that would either be a 404 or a 770 area code, and you're telling me that number you got came from area code 501, which would be in central Arkansas.
That's correct, and I used to live in area code 404 and lived in Georgia for a long period of time and left, and the situation is, when I dialed the number back, it just said it was a disconnected phone.
A disconnected number. What do you think's going on here, Bill? I'd find this very, very suspicious, especially based on what happened over in East Tennessee.
Yeah, I find it. I didn't think anything of it, but until you interviewed her, and the situation is just as you were talking about the generals. I think Trump needs to declare martial law because the Democratic Party and whoever's behind it, they're running a coup to take over this country.
Well,
into a communist country.
Bill, they're doing a heck of a good job. I'll tell you that much. This is a very, like Dinesh D'Souza said, this appears to be a very well-coordinated effort. Now, here's my question, folks. Bill, thank you for the call. And folks, here's my question. What happened if Bill and the lady from Tennessee had not been good, honest, decent people? What if they were Democrats? And they could have, no, I'm not saying Democrats are dishonest people. You know what I'm talking about. But what if they had gone ahead and requested those ballots or sent in those ballots? You think they would have been caught? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, again, there's an effort to fix the U.S. Senate races in Georgia. It's the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day. The question is, are we going to do anything about it? Will the Republicans do anything about it? And like Dinesh D'Souza said, this is a moment for every Republican-controlled state legislature to step up and do their jobs. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
might have a little bit more insight into what's going on here, folks. We've had two callers. One said they got a text message. She lives in Tennessee. Said she got a text message from Georgia asking her to vote in the election, the Senate race down there. Another guy from Arkansas got a phone call asking him to vote. Now this coming in from FoxNews.com. The Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, has launched a couple of investigations, 250 to be exact. One of those investigations involves a group founded by Stacey Abrams, and this group is being accused of aggressively registering ineligible out-of-state or dead voters ahead of the January 5th Senate runoff election. Raffensperger's office said Wednesday the investigations are into groups including America Votes, Vote Forward, and the New Georgia Project, which was founded by Stacey Abrams. Oh, and by the way, chaired by Pastor Raphael, I don't like white people, Warnock. Folks, we just don't make this stuff up. I mean, we all knew this was happening. And we have to hope they've got the evidence, but this is why those folks in Tennessee and Arkansas got the phone calls, got the messages, asking them to vote. I wonder how many dead people, where are they reaching out to the dead? I wonder if we're going to have any, are they going to limit that to the Deep South? Are we?
The Republicans just aren't appealing to a major voting bloc.
Clearly, they've got to do a better job. I don't know what's happening in the afterlife, but for whatever reason, the Republicans are coming up and voting Democrat. Something's not right there. I don't know what's going on. Hey, look, when we come back, we've got some stunning audio to play, brand new audio coming from Project Veritas, our good friend James O'Keefe. We're going to get to that. Also, Mike Lindell from MyPillow is going to be here, and our good friend Dr. Emer Kanner from Truett McConnell University. By the way, speaking of MyPillow, Mike has a great deal for all of our listeners. If you get the mattress topper, he's going to throw in some free MyPillows, and this is exclusive to the Todd Stearns radio show. All you got to do is go to MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, and you got to use the promo code Stearns, and you'll get the free pillows. So that's MyPillow.com, promo code Stearns, and you're going to get the pillows, the mattress topper. Make a great Christmas present, especially for yourself. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, folks.